Yeah, no, I'm saying I'm going to pay you to do that, because then you'll feel more guilty about coming every day.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are taking a look at the newest Star Wars film, Rise of Skywalker. And as you might expect, we are going to spoil the shit out of it. So if you haven't seen it, don't listen.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And Molly Glover. Alright. And with that sound effect, I'm gonna let you know right now, we are discussing Rise of Skywalker, and we are gonna spoil the shit out of it. There is a lot of spoiling to be done.
Yes.
So if you have not seen Rise of Skywalker yet, don't listen any further. We are gonna spoil the shit out of it.
Yep.
If you don't give a shit about spoilers, I understand that, and fine, you can ignore what I'm saying right now. That's fine. That's cool. But if you do give a shit about spoilers, they will happen. They will happen almost immediately.
Right.
Turn it off now.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
That's been said.
All right, okay. Gone.
I'm very excited about this conversation because I literally have no idea what the two of you thought. You saw it on Friday.
Yes.
I saw it on Saturday.
Yes.
And I do not know where you stand.
I fucking loved it.
Okay.
Molly fucking loved it. So here's the thing.
I really liked it.
As anyone who's listened to this show knows, I love the new trilogy more than any other Star Wars.
Okay.
I think the new Star Wars stuff is some of the best Star Wars that we've seen. And I don't care if people think that makes me whatever. I don't care. I think that this...
Freaky girl.
I don't care. Because the reason that I love the new stuff is inclusive because it knows that now that inclusivity is a thing now.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a concern in the late 70s and early 80s. It just wasn't something that the average white cis dude, George Lucas, thought about.
It's something that's glaringly absent
yes.
from the original trilogy and even from the prequels.
Yes.
The only ways in which they were diverse was in the aliens they featured.
And it's not just that. It's also like the ways it's not just race, it's also gender, it's the agency of the women involved, it's the, you know, like the differences, the way that the men have platonic love for each other.
Yeah.
The people showing affection.
Or maybe not platonic love.
But one of the things I was saying to Nick that I love so much about Poe Dameron is that he, especially in this last one, he goes up to every person he sees, and he's holding their face, and he's touching them, and he's hugging them close, and he is a man showing physical affection to other people, male and female,
yeah.
that we see. And maybe non-binary, I'm assuming, right? It's a Star Wars universe,
sure.
We can assume. But like, he is not, you know, taciturn, he's not reserved, he's not giving handshakes, you know, to the men, and like, you know, what he's genuinely like.
It's not even bro hugs.
No, he's like, hugs. He is holding people, he is showing people he loves them with his affection.
When he hugs Finn at the end, the moment when they didn't kiss, you know, when he goes in for that hug with Finn, he puts his hand like behind Finn's head
neck.
And neck,
yep.
and like pulls his face in
yep.
super close for that hug.
There's a lot of stuff.
It's very like tactile physical affection.
Yes. And so that's the diversity I'm talking about.
Right.
Like
okay.
it's a lot. There's diversity in our villains. They're not all just cold reserved murder machines. They have weaknesses that we see. They have, and not just his weaknesses that he's an old white guy in a suit and he dies without the suit, you know,
his weakness is he's good inside.
Yes.
And
we started to see some of that in the prequels, which I love Anakin stuff in the prequels. I think it's really good. I think it's, you know, a lot of people didn't like it because they didn't want to see Darth Vader as a human being. But, you know, it's, I think that we get a lot more of that in the new trilogy. So I fucking loved this movie. It's not my favorite, which I know we'll get there, but it's not my very favorite, but it is my second favorite.
Okay. So, I was interested because like online response, very, very all over the place. It's like, There are people that
it's a Star Wars movie.
I know, but I mean, it seems even more than usual, oddly, too.
More than Jedi, you think? More than The Last Jedi?
It seems that way, like, all over the place.
If you were to write down the plot points as just a number of bullet points of things that happened in this movie and present it to me before I had seen it, I probably would have been very disappointed and snarky about what happens in the movie.
Rey being a Palpatine grew on me.
When they said it,
I almost laughed. I kind of went in my own head when they said it, and like, "You're a Palpatine." I was like, "Boo!" Just a little bit, because I liked that she was no one. I liked that she was nothing.
I did too. I mean, if I had one,
yep.
If I had one disappointment, and it's not even it, I liked it better when Rey was nobody.
Yes,
but understanding the saga beginning to end. And how it all ties back to Palpatine's machinations and Palpatine's plotting that has happened from episode one. And I don't care for the prequels, but nonetheless, starting in episode one and going all the way through episode nine and recognizing that in this final trilogy of the saga, it all still relates back to the grand arc of Palpatine.
Sheev Palpatine.
The Emperor... doing his plan to gain total power and the use of the Skywalker bloodline to get to achieve his ends.
Yeah.
And that is solid from episode 1 to episode 9. Yep. That is what is happening in the story. Yep. So it has consistency overall in that way. I agree, even though you could argue that 7 and 8 are only really a part of that in a sort of retcon way with the, like, it's stuff that isn't obvious, but, you know, they tie it together with 9.
I agree with Snoke and that.
It's there, but it's not there.
Yeah. Right.
Sure.
Didn't want to tip their hand. They must have known where it was going. I think they did.
And so keep in mind that, like, when I say I loved it, I love being entertained. I love being delighted. I love being surprised. I love movies that make me feel stuff. And this movie made me feel a lot of things.
Right.
If you hold up to logic some of the things, you're going to start to like it a little less.
In a Star Wars movie?
I know. It's space fantasy. Yeah. And so, like, I feel like all the reasons that I used to say that I don't love the original trilogy, 4, 5, and 6, that they're like, I used to always be like, they're fine. I mean, Star Wars is great. I like it. It's good. But it's not like I'm not ride or die hard fan for it, because to me, a lot of it, I was like, okay, I guess, like, it just, a lot of it didn't make a lot of sense. But also I was sort of shamed from liking it because I was a girl and, like, you know, it wasn't a movie that felt like it was for me. And I feel like my love for Star Wars was able to be rekindled and really, like, made solid by episode 7 and the subsequent movies therein. So yeah.
It had everything I look for in a Star Wars movie, and that I need, that is like something that scratches that itch. I got my laser swords. I got some cool explanations or expanding on the Force and the philosophies and powers thereof. I got, you know, lots of cool aliens and puppets. And
some epic space battles.
Some epic space battles, right? I got some...
A new droid.
Some war stuff. Some war is awful and politics is hard stuff. And that's it. Like, I feel like if there is a sort of thematic checklist of things that need to happen in a Star Wars movie that happen in every Star Wars movie, they certainly achieved that, like, undeniably. And I know people that weren't happy with The Force Awakens or even Last Jedi, like a friend of the show, Timmy Iverson, who is a Star Wars super fan, who hated The Last Jedi. And he wasn't a huge fan of The Force Awakens, if I'm remembering correctly. Mm-hmm. He loved this.
I know he did. Yeah, I saw that. And I was a little surprised.
I was too, frankly. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was surprised that he had such a positive reaction to this, because it felt pretty on point continuation of the last.
I agree.
I feel like there was a lot of, I know a lot of people really hated the Rey and Ben Solo, the Reylo stuff. I loved it. I thought it was perfect. I've wanted this from the beginning, and not, oh, them dating and, oh, they're together, but, like, they had an intimacy that we cannot fathom. they were brought together in a way. They represented the Force. They had their raw, strong power. They have both, like, they were being connected starting in episode 8, you know, with their minds and all of this. And then, like, what continued through 9, they went on this thing together. This amazing, they saved each other. They redeemed each other in ways they both needed. And then for him to, like, he saves her by giving everything he has to her, and then he is just gone, and Leia, who was helping him, is gone, and that was a perfect end.
It was a
perfect end for his character.
It was very poetic in that his idol is Darth Vader, right? Mm-hmm. That's who he wants to be like, that's who he models himself mm-hmm. after, that's who he has the little shrine to and all that. And he has Vader's ending.
Yep.
Just like in Jedi. He turns to the light side to save a Skywalker who isn't a Skywalker but is our Skywalker, to overthrow and kill the Emperor, mm-hmm. and he sacrifices himself and joins the Force yep. to for good to happen. Yeah. And I don't think that cheapens the story. I think it's like I said, it's poetic. There's mm-hmm. there's symmetry in the storytelling there that is wonderful.
He'd been betrayed by all of the evil things that he was looking up to,
yeah.
and that he had decided were the reasons he was going to be bad. Like everything that ever spoke to him about the dark side, all the promises he was made about the dark side, none of that was happening. It was all still just dumb politics and war weapons, you know?
I think okay, and I haven't said what I thought about it
yet.
Please.
And but I was actually kind of concerned because I came out of the movie and I really enjoyed it. And I'm like, I was wondering if we were gonna have it.
Yeah.
It's like much as we keep we usually end up agreeing, but yeah. I'm like, yeah. I don't know because I'm looking at all these
sure.
Differing opinions. What I said to the group that I saw with when I came out was, using a sports metaphor, I don't think they stuck the landing, but I think they landed on their feet. I liked it. 75% to 80%. There's maybe 5% that I was a little frustrated with, a little disappointed with. I agree that when I first learned Rey was a Palpatine, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I really liked her being nobody, and
I liked
that
sense story.
But then it was yep. like, okay, if this is the story that you're telling, it
yep.
she needed to be that.
It makes sense, yep.
And I want more. Which
yeah.
I think is a good reason to say that I think the movie is successful. One of the things that I really was disappointed we didn't get more with in that final battle was that there are other ex-troopers.
Yeah.
Like
mm-hmm. yeah.
Finn. That other troopers just were like, this is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is wrong. And I wanted to see that happen in that final battle. I wanted to see troopers on that massive armada
mm-hmm.
yeah.
of starships. When the armada of ships shows up to help the last of the
yeah.
resistance, I wanted to see the resistance rise on those ships. You know, just a shot or two
mm-hmm.
of some Force troopers. So,
mm-hmm.
First order troopers
yeah.
turning
yeah.
and realizing that what has been done to them is
yeah.
wrong.
Yeah.
And maybe that was written in and they took it out for time.
Maybe they've got a show planned.
Yeah. Maybe
yeah.
Because to me, like, this idea of these ex-troopers like Finn, like the other character whose name I don't remember because
mm-hmm.
I think the only thing we got was
Jaina or Jaina?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And her group that all basically deprogram themselves
yeah.
at the same time.
Yeah.
I want to see that
yeah.
story expand.
There was some really cool moments with clone troopers, like, bucking the trend of Order 66 in the Clone Wars stuff
mm-hmm.
with, like, the core group that were loyal to Kenobi and
mm-hmm.
that later appear in, like, Rebels and stuff.
Yep.
Like, there was some really cool stuff with that. And I think that there's obviously an opportunity there to do more. Just, like, I doubt we'll ever get to see a show or something that takes place during Rey's, presumably the school Rey starts after this movie.
Did either of you, I gotta ask, because minor disappointment, but it didn't really matter. It's like, I wanted to think that Rey's school was going to be built in Luke's old home.
In Tatooine. Yeah.
Mm. I wanted to believe that's sure. why she was there. I thought that was going to be where they went.
I get it. A feeling that there's something... If nothing else, it is a shrine, right? Yeah. Maybe not a temple, but I think that mm-hmm. that Aunt Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru, or is that not Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru's, is that where, what's her name, Anakin's mother?
Shmi.
No, that was
Aunt Beru's. Luke's place.
I'm
yeah.
pretty
yeah,
sure, I mean, I could be wrong. That might have been the original set.
I thought so too.
That
yeah.
might have been, no, I mean, I've... That might have been the original set.
To me, I think that the purpose of that was that she is a Skywalker. She is an adopted Skywalker, and she went there to see if it felt right. She went mm-hmm. there because she can't go to Alderaan. She can't go right. to where Leia was.
Right.
You know, she can't go see that, and so she went to where it all began for Luke, and yeah. to feel it and to see if she felt something, and she did. And right. when the woman was like, "Well, what's your name?" I was like, "Rey." Well, what Rey what? And then the, you know, Rey, and looking and seeing like Luke and Leia there together looking, you know, and it's like she was, they were both her masters, you know, they both taught her. They are her parents more than anyone else in this entire world, and right? They are the two, her parental figures who gave her their guidance. Yeah. And ultimately she has, I mean, we don't know how it works, but she has Ben Solo inside her. She right. literally has the
she
the
is
life.
All the Jedi.
She yeah. has the essence of the last of the Skywalker right. line that went into her to keep her alive. Like, and then Luke and Leia, I mean, she is a Skywalker. And it's great.
It's cool that so the lightsaber, they show like the evil Rey and that weird
yeah.
little yeah. Bit that happens on the her on little, the
her
crash
panic
ship.
Attack.
has that like Swiss Army fold open lightsaber.
Yeah, the Darth Maul look.
That is a temple saber.
A Sith temple saber.
No.
The one that she has is a bat.
The one that goes click click and folds open.
Yeah.
That is a design taken from Temple Guards in Clone Wars, I believe. Like Jedi specifically.
I thought she had the one that was just the same as Darth
nope.
Maul's.
It's a Swiss
ending.
Army like it's
interesting.
It's two blades in parallel that fold open to two blades in line.
Neat.
But then at the end of the movie, when she clicks open her yeah. lightsaber that looks like her staff hilt, she has a yellow blade, which again, like, yellow blades are prominently featured in, like, Rebels as being the blades that the Jedi Temple Guards use.
The Guardians, yeah.
The Temple Guardians, right. So I feel like there's this... It's not white, like Ahsoka's, who's a neutral Force mm-hmm. non-Jedi. It's not red, it's not blue, it's green, it's yellow. And the only place we're really seeing yellow saber blades are in these people who, like the Guardians of the Wills,
mm-hmm.
right? The people who are protectors of the Force. And so I feel like this is, whatever happens next, if we end up jumping like 100 years, several generations, if it's so indistinctly in the future that there's nothing to connect it to what happens in these movies other than the larger political movements that happen, I feel like whatever we see in the future will be a remnant of the legacy that Rey sets up after this movie that we probably will never see.
Yeah, I mean, Daisy Ridley has said that she doesn't expect to play Rey again.
Yeah.
Which, in some ways, is too bad. But you want to believe that, and I think it is true, that the overall massive political story has to be over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That there is... No
more empire
whatever
attempts.
Whatever is next, you know, be it a republic, be it an empire, whatever it is, that's not going to be the story of the Star Wars universe mm-hmm. moving forward. At least it shouldn't be. Whatever
right.
they do next, I don't feel like... You know, I feel like you're better off telling the stories like The Mandalorian, which...
Yeah.
Fringers, Outer Rim.
Yeah.
Things that fit in the gaps.
Yeah.
Right.
Rather than expanding before or after. I don't think we'll get anything before or after the 9 movies until they do something new. Like an Old Republic trilogy or something like that. I don't think we'll get anything else that it goes before or after this timeline until they do whatever they're going to do next.
I was really impressed with what they did with the footage they had of Carrie Fisher from episode 8 that they used to make episode 9.
Yeah.
I think they did a good job. I will admit I caught myself thinking, I wonder what scene that was from, or like I could kind of picture where it might have been from.
Sure.
You know, like, well, just tell me, you know, and everything she said, if you think about it, if you go back and watch and you think about it, it doesn't necessarily relate to what was said before or after it, but it's written, everyone is written around her to make it work.
Right.
Like, and that if you didn't know she was dead and you didn't know that she wasn't alive when they started filming, you wouldn't know. But if you do know and you look, it's a little kind of like, oh wow, good job. Like, good job with that.
They do a couple other things in this movie that are like, they do work. Like, they they fulfill, there are a couple lines that they that are in there here and there that I don't want to say like retcon the previous two movies, but they expand on or explain things that happened in the previous two movies. Like in The Last Jedi, people were bitching and complaining about Leia using the Force when she gets ejected into space. Well, now we know that for sure she and Luke trained as Jedi after Return of the Jedi.
I was one of those people. I hated that. I was like, oh, so suddenly now, just because she's Force sensitive, she can do a Force pull on the brink of death?
We've always known now she was Force sensitive, but now we know that she and Luke took the time for her training in the Force. She had a lightsaber, and she only stopped once she lost her son.
Well, she saw the vision.
She saw
She saw a vision that she was going to lose her son, and that she was not destined to be a Jedi.
This saber wouldn't be used again until
That, and that vision, she was like, "Oh shit, okay, well, this isn't for me."
Yep.
You know,
That fits some things together. There's what is it, Dominic? No,
Dominic Monaghan.
Yeah, has the right. He was
Charlie.
There's a Hobbit.
Yeah.
There's also Domhnall Gleeson, so that's why I wanted to make,
He has the line about the Holdo maneuver and you know, using light speed as a means to attack this fleet.
And now it's a thing.
And they're like, it was a one in a million shot, and there's just too many of these giant ships and not enough of us for that to be a practical tactic. Like, they address that in this movie in a line or two. There's a couple other little things also, like that, little housekeeping details.
Now it's being called the Holdo maneuver.
Right.
You know, which is neat.
Or pull a Holdo, whatever he says.
This movie is, like, for all anybody might disagree with, like, overarching plot stuff, the thing about Star Wars movies is if you just write down the plot points, the main plot points of any of the Star Wars movies, there's not a lot. And so there really isn't. Like, it's like what the movie is made of is the performances and the writing and the little moments. The thing that made me cry the hardest was Chewbacca's raw grief they got there and he found out Leia had died and he just sank to his knees because that's everyone now. I mean, not Lando, but I mean, it's he's lost Luke, Leia, and Han, and that's it. And he's just, and it was like, it made me think of like how hard it, like, you know, elves, right? Like how hard it is to be a race that outlives your human friends. And you knew it was going to happen, but here it is. Here's the day.
Were either you disappointed in the fake out with Chewbacca? Do you wish she had killed him? Like, not that you wish Chewbacca was dead, but do you wish that? Because, like, when she blows up that transport, when Rey blows up the transport with Force lightning, when she's doing that tug-of-war with Kylo Ren, like, Molly and I both had the same reaction. Our hands went to our mouths in a gasp, and we were just like, there was such enormous consequence so quickly for what happened. And then Rey, just 15 minutes later, he's alive. Like, I was relieved, but at the same time, if I could understand how someone could feel like that was cheap.
I guess where I'm coming from is I would have felt that Chewbacca's death in that situation was too cheap.
Yeah.
That I didn't get I mean, even Leia, and even though I knew it wasn't Carrie Fisher, but Leia getting a death that was relevant and meaningful was important. And I think the same thing with Chewbacca, even though from a plot perspective there was a lot of power in doing that and having that be his death, I think from a perspective of a Star Wars fan, having that be the way we lose Chewbacca would have felt really cheap and
sure
and unsatisfying.
If this were a sci-fi movie, that would have been fine, because sure. that's how people die in right. science fiction movies, right. even the heroes. Like it, but this isn't science fiction. This is space fantasy. You know, this is space opera, really, right? Like this is so it. Your heroes need heroic ends, and they need, or at least they need to have a large death that you know that feels like a big thing. You know, it's. Similarly, if the way Kylo had died had been that the Emperor flung him off a thing and he just fell to his death and we never saw him again except for his right. broken body at the bottom of the canyon in this Death right. Star ruins.
But of course
right?
he doesn't, and I really appreciated that, by the way, because the Emperor didn't die when the same thing happened to him. Well,
right.
And
falls don't kill people in Star Wars.
Right.
Yeah.
Darth Maul gets cut in half, but the fall doesn't kill him.
Yeah. yeah. The fall does not
kill
him.
Even the getting cut in half doesn't kill him.
Well, I mean, but like anyone,
when somebody falls to their doom, if you don't see their body, they are not dead in Star Wars.
Exactly.
And that is, I think, you know, another thing that I appreciate, and I there are times where I like, I wish a character would point this out, even though I think it's there in the story, is the whole fact that the Sith lie. Mm-hmm. That is what they do. Mm-hmm. And I wish somebody would explain that to somebody. And it's like, I wish when Luke is having his conversation with Rey, he's like, whatever Palpatine tells you is a lie.
Instead, they're always the dark side lies. The dark side seductive.
It's like, that is what the Sith do. They tell you just enough of the truth mm-hmm. to make you believe the mm-hmm. lie.
It's all manipulation. Yep. Just like how, you know, Padme is going to die and you can save her and everything he uses... Right. To turn
yep.
Anakin
yep.
is just emotional manipulation. Yep. It's right. just abuse.
Yep. And
it's
Don't what you he's want to doing, get revenge on
it's
the
It's what he's doing to Rey
mother.
At the end of this movie. And Rey doesn't buy it. And we right. realize that Rey isn't buying it. But every now and again, I just wish there would be that moment of somebody saying, you have to remember that the one trait of Sith that they all have in common is they lie.
Yes.
They will always... tell you lies to make you do what they want.
Right.
I know that there are some people who are very upset because they, and I don't want to sound elitist, but because apparently they don't pay enough attention to Star Wars, and so they thought that force healing wasn't a thing, or like it was really rare.
Force healing has been around for fucking ever.
Or that force lightning is super rare and only Palpatine has it, or something. And it's like, I mean, if you have played RPGs or any of the games or read any of the books or the comic, I mean, these are things that people have done. Like right. this is it's just a power.
Yeah.
It's just that it never really comes up in the other ones. They didn't do it. There wasn't a reason to do it. Like, you know, and I know that people are saying things like, well, why didn't Obi-Wan force heal his own hand then? And it's like, I don't know that you can do it to yourself.
Right.
Like, well, I mean, there's a lot of things.
It's giving energy.
What pisses me off more than anything, every goddamn Star Wars movie, there's a force power you haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like in
one.
The Force Awakens, Kylo Ren stops a fucking
blaster shot. Yep.
You never saw that before, and you can't tell. I mean, okay, you can. But you can't tell me that it wasn't fucking cool.
It was the coolest fucking thing. Yeah.
And you're just like, why can't it be a thing?
It's the Force. It's a magical space thing. You can do anything you want with it.
Nobody's ever defined the parameters of the Force. There's never been a Star Wars movie.
You literally can't. They talked about that in The Last Jedi. When he was like, if you're thinking of it as a power, if you're thinking of it as a set of powers or a set
something
of,
for
something,
the Jedi.
Something
or...
you can do or something you can harness. That's not it. It's literally everything. Like, it's everywhere, all the time, everything. Like, I don't know how you need it more clearly stated than your favorite fuckboy Luke Skywalker saying it, like, clear as goddamn day in the last movie. Like,
yeah. What, I mean, and people are going to like it, and people are going to hate it, and that's all cool.
Yeah, whatever.
And I went in not being the slightest bit certain how it would feel. And I think also, the really difficult thing is, and I think it's the biggest weakness with Jedi as well, you are taking something where everybody has all these ideas of how it should end.
Oh, yeah.
And you will never be able to satisfy people.
Nope.
This is something that we have... over 40 years invested in many of us.
The whole world.
Yeah. Many of us have 40, and now you're going, I'm taking this entire saga, no matter what you think of individual movies, uh-huh. you've been here for all of it, and you've settled on, this is how I want it to end.
Yep.
And the odds are really good that yep. it's not going to end the way anybody in that theater wanted it to end.
Or thought it would. Yep.
I don't get how there are people that are like, it's worse than Phantom Menace. It's worse than, like, it's the worst Star Wars film.
Yeah, somebody commented on my page. It made me pine for the prequels. I'm like, well, you better go back and watch those fucking prequels.
How are you?
Here's what I can say about the prequels. And, you know, whatever you thought of them. But one of the biggest problems I had with the prequels was the way they filmed, like, the space battles. Like, the space battle mm-hmm. at the beginning of Revenge of the Sith, which is millions of ships all flying every which way in a chaotic fashion where you could not make out the story of what was happening. Mm-hmm.
They didn't do the dogfight stuff that they're yeah. known for.
And I take that now and go to the battle at the end of Rise of Skywalker, mm-hmm. which again, millions of ships, all sorts of shit going on everywhere.
Thousands of people died.
And yet... You followed what was going on.
Right. Yep.
You knew what was going yep. on. You had a sense of place. You had a sense of action.
Yep.
You had a sense of loss because there were characters. They got you. You got to know just enough that when you saw them die, you were like, shit, that guy's gone.
Yeah.
And that to me is what they were doing right. And to be honest, if I'm like sitting there and going, if I'm honest about what I wanted at the end of this movie, I wanted that embrace of Rey and Finn and Poe, mm-hmm. the three characters that they basically created as our point of view characters,
yep. getting to the end of it,
having fucking won.
Yep.
I wanted them to win. I mean, if you didn't go into this wanting them to win, why the fuck were you even watching this movie?
There are some amazing acting moments in this film from yeah. all of them. Adam Driver, Daisy Ridley, John Boyega,
yeah.
Oscar Isaac. Like even Anthony Daniels, right? There were
some 3PO moments.
There were some 3PO moments.
I think 3PO has been the most useless character in the last two
movies.
Not a
fan. I don't like him at all. Yeah. I've never really liked C-3PO other than it's like, it's so funny because he's uptight. Like, but when he was like, when he gets rebooted, and what is it? It's Baba Frick. Baba Frick. And when he gets rebooted.
My oldest
and he's
friend.
Like, and he's like, you know, yes. Hello, who are you? And then one goes, hello, I'm Baba Frick. And so then later he's like, yeah. Baba Frick, my oldest friend.
I know.
Was such a great little moment of like.
But even the moment where 3PO makes the conscious sacrifice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which ends up not being a sacrifice at all.
Yeah, yeah, it's true, but it could have been. Yeah. We don't know, you know, because we don't.
I wish they'd left it.
So
I wish they'd left it.
You know what? I wish they had left it, or I wish. So okay, C-3PO was reassembled by Anakin Skywalker on Tatooine. Mm-hmm. He has been in every single movie. Star Wars movie along with R2-D2, right?
Mm-hmm.
C-3PO was wiped at the end of
Episode 3,
Revenge mm-hmm. of the Sith. Yep. What I would have loved is, instead of just restoring him back to where he was at the beginning of this movie, if R2-D2 restored all of C-3PO's memories.
Oh, yeah.
If all of a sudden C-3PO didn't just go back to where it was, where there was nothing lost, and his sacrifice was kind of undone,
mm-hmm.
it was, he goes back and he knows everything, and all of a sudden C-3PO understands the whole fucking story.
Yeah, but,
like, that would have been something other than just undo.
I mean, there are
Control Z.
Here's the thing. There are these nitpicky things that we're talking about that I totally agree with. I mean,
yeah.
I that would be amazing. Just like I wanted to see more with the First Order troops.
Yeah.
Finding that, yeah, that whatever switch it was,
sure,
you know,
it was just their humanity. That's the thing is, they aren't their people. They're just kids who got kidnapped and brainwashed.
Not Finn though. Finn's different. Finn's force sensitive. That's why he broke
and
out
it
of the.
Seems like the other troopers that were
might
also
have been
force
too.
Sensitive.
That's the thing.
I mean, that animal companionship like that. The fact that they were able to survive off.
it starts out being called The Force Awakens.
Right.
Not The Force Awakens in Rey only. The Force Awakens. It's waking up and being like, oh, you know what? I guess we need more people to be able to tap into this.
Yeah.
Like, now that, and also, it's a generation after the Sith specifically killed everyone they could find that was Force sensitive.
Yeah. Right.
So it's going to start waking up, just like mutants.
Yep.
When Wanda says no more mutants and they all fucking go away, that's not forever. Because it's mutations. It's going to start happening. Well,
and again. Because comics.
Because Star Wars.
Yeah. But for real. And Molly, you mentioned this point after the movie when we were talking that it's to their benefit to show that the Force, to emphasize that the Force exists outside of Jedi, that they can do stories and properties with the Force that don't include the Jedi.
Yep, or the Sith.
Or the Sith. It's a really big area for them to explore, them to do things with. And I think that it's been fan theorized a number of times in the last two movies that Finn is Force sensitive. I think it is an absolute concrete fact that he's Force sensitive after this movie.
Yep.
Like, if you don't think that that's the case, then I don't know how more unsubtle they need to be about it after this movie.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's something interesting they could do.
By the way, one other point of disappointment, which again doesn't ruin the movie for me, but god damn it, I wanted to know what Finn was going to tell Rey.
Oh, I think it's that he's can use the Force.
Well, I think it's not
that he loves her. It's that
I didn't think it was that. No. I was just like, I thought that was it.
Yeah.
And again, in this movie, he holds the Skywalker lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
There's a moment where she hands it off to him, and he's holding it behind her with Oscar Isaac. And it's like, I don't know how many different times they can hammer it home that maybe he is strong enough for training.
Yeah. Now I want before we go to five questions.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about this. I think we all enjoyed the movie. We got our issues, but I mean, I think it is a really solid finish. But because I have one, and I want to know, is there a moment, just one moment in the movie that's your favorite, that really just you loved?
Yes. So when Rey and Kylo have mind melded. And this time it's not Snoke doing it. We don't know what's doing it. Maybe it was the Emperor, but I don't think so because they were plotting against him when this was happening. And he has just come down to the planet where Zori is from, and they're going trashing it. Yeah. He can't find her, and he's so mad. And she is in his room. And they start fighting. And her lightsaber cuts through on his side, and a basket of fruit spills out onto her side. And then they do some more things, and then like something else happens, like a necklace. And then he cuts through a pillar, and the Darth Vader mask falls down, and he sees it, and he looks up at her, and the expression on his face of like, "You're in my room," you say don't like me. You say you hate me and that you don't want to have anything to do with me, but you're in my fucking room. Like, you feel this. Like,
it's
you,
more than just I know where you are.
It's more than just I know where you are. It's this. Good. It's like, you got, and her face too is like, fuck. And it's this like, I caught you. You have feelings. This is more than just that. Like, there's a thing here that's, it's epic, you know? And it's a beautiful moment of acting between the two of them.
I will say every Rey and Kylo moment, I think that
they were incredible.
Yeah. Duality is
if you
amazing.
Go back to Jedi when she's like, would you please put on a shirt? And he's like, no.
They take that same, you know, Force casting thing to a later moment, which is one of my favorite moments to answer the question they show her kind of look off when she's confronting the Emperor, look off and like nod as if she's come to a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And then it cuts to Kylo Ren being confronted by the Knights of Ren. I'm sorry, Ben Solo
being confronted
by the Knights of Ren. And he kind of has a look and a nod or an acknowledgement as well. What we don't see happened is they just did that same Force conference call
thing. They can see where they are.
And they are looking at each other and acknowledging one another. And that's when he reaches behind his back and pulls the lightsaber.
That's my moment, actually.
Is it?
Oh, okay.
That's my moment.
That's great.
Specifically, my favorite part of that is he pulls out the lightsaber and clicks it on and looks at the Knights of Ren, and he just does this head bob thing where it's like, okay, here we go.
Like, he kind of puts a hand out, like, what are you going to do?
Like,
you
know? Like, it's just, there's such a great physical acting moment for Adam Driver where he's just like, here I go killing again.
Yeah.
Literally, that was my moment.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Clearly,
it's a good moment.
Yeah.
It's Rey reaching behind her back, Kylo pulling that saber out, and that moment of Kylo just looking at the Knights around like, you're all going to die now.
Like, right? Yeah. Like, you know it's... I mean, like, you can... Here's your minute to run.
There's other really great moment of subtler physical acting with Zora, Zori and Poe Dameron at the end.
Yeah.
When they're on the planet after the fight is won and they're all celebrating and everything, and she looks at him and nods, and he looks at her and nods, and then he looks at her and kind of looks to the side like,
and
she just shakes her head no, and he's like, well, you can't blame me for trying. It's no words exchanged.
Yep.
It's just three glances back and forth. You completely understand what was just communicated, and it's fucking funny.
And again, with the inclusion and the diversity thing I mentioned, he's not angry. He doesn't pout. He doesn't go, come on. He accepts that and is not hurt by it, and it's fine.
Yeah.
There's no like, oh, you're stuck up or any.
He's
of
not
that.
So fragile that that
exactly.
is gonna faze him.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's just a great
Yeah, and the other moment that I'll mention since Nick took mine is that embrace between Poe and Finn and Rey at the end. Because you know what? I wanted that. It reflects back to the embrace between Leia and Han and Luke at the end of episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that's great about it is, in this one, it's a black man, a woman, and a Hispanic man.
He's Mexican, yeah.
So it's like the way that they... And they never like, look at the diversity that we just introduced into the Star Wars universe. But it is the diversity that they just introduced
into the Star
Wars
universe.
Chewie gets a medal and there's a lesbian kiss. It's great. Just two women. They look like they're both pilots and they run to each other and they kiss and it's fucking great.
One with the distinct nose from the bridge that's in The Last Jedi.
It's great.
And the other's a pilot, I think.
It makes me, our theater, because we went and saw it with everyone from FFG and ANA.
Yeah.
Like, we actually had to have four showings for the company. But so we were in one of the four showings for the entire company, and the raucous cheer that went up at that kiss was wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, it was great.
All right. So here we go. I've got five questions, five Star Wars questions.
Oh, you wrote questions for us?
I'm gonna remind, by the way, our listeners, we are down to our last
set of listener
questions. So these are five questions on Star Wars.
Okay.
First one, we're going to go with the really obvious question. Now that the saga is complete, what is your 1-9 ranking of episodes 1-9?
Okay. All right. You want to go?
Sure. So, without Solo and Rogue One, just 1-9, it's 5, 7, 6, 9, 4, 8, 2, 3, 1.
Okay.
And if you include Solo and Rogue One, I think Solo is somewhere between 9 and 4, and Rogue One is probably between, like, 8. No, I'm sorry. Rogue One is between, it'd be 5, 7, 6, 9, Rogue One, 4, 8, Solo, 2, 3, 1.
Okay.
And there's a big gap between Solo and 2, 3, 1.
Okay.
So. Okay. So for me, it's 7, 9, 5, 8, 4, 6, 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
I really like the third prequel. I know a lot of people don't like it as much, but I think all that Order 66 stuff and all of the real rough stuff.
The birth of Vader.
Uh-huh. Is really good. Even with the, like, she died of a broken heart and the no, like, I mean, it's the culmination of what we've been fucking watching this dumb kid for, right? Like, it's great. I think one is the worst. Simply because because it glorifies the fact that they steal him from his parents. Like, they buy him from his mother with tricks of he's going to be a Jedi. And it's like, it's a child soldier. I really don't like how it's glossed over and prettied up.
There's some modern Star Wars movie making lessons that they learn from one that they fix in 2 and 3.
Yeah. All right, Tim, what's yours?
right. My ranking, I still, five is number one. But from there, I think it's seven. Because I really love Last Jedi.
That's Force Awakens.
Sorry, Force Awakens. No. Sorry, seven, eight.
So eight. So five, so eight.
Five, eight. Then I think it's four.
Okay.
So, because the original is just the original. It really is. Then I think it is nine. And then seven. And then six. And then it is two. I've watched them enough.
Yep.
To know that I hate the prequels. I do.
Yep.
I think the storytelling is just shit. But two is my favorite of the prequels because I think that Ian McGregor totally nails Obi-Wan Kenobi in that movie. And it's the only reason to watch it. And then it's one. And then I think three is... It's like, if this movie lands on its feet, I felt like episode three just completely...
But three has Yoda fighting. With a lightsaber.
Yeah, but they did. They had Yoda fighting in two, which means they completely blew that reveal, which would have been great if they waited until three. It's like there's all such a storytelling shit in episodes one, two, and three that I think are just horrible, and I can't forget.
Yeah,
it would have been better if Palpatine just fucking demolished Yoda, and Yoda had to run and retreat and hide, without the fight being like a big thing. If it was just one sided, I think that Anyway.
Those are our rankings.
All right. Question two.
Simple question. Your favorite humanoid character. So non-droid, non-alien species.
So human character.
Humanoid character, yes. Well, no. A humanoid would include like Chewbacca.
Okay. Or so we're including Akbar. Aliens.
Yeah.
Just non-droid. Your favorite non-droid character. Non-droid character. Basically.
Species.
Okay, so mine's a very close tie.
Okay.
Honestly, I don't think I can decide between the two. But it is Kylo Ren / Ben Solo and Han Solo. Han Solo was my favorite character growing up and was has been. That's one of the reasons I love the movie Solo. I rank it way higher than a lot of people do. I thought it was great.
I enjoyed Solo.
I thought it was great. But I also, I'd have to rewatch this last trilogy altogether. I want to watch them all in a row. But I really think it might be Kylo Ren / Ben Solo as my favorite character. You know, with Rey's a close second, but...
This movie elevated him a lot in my mind.
Adam Driver is an incredible actor.
Oh, yeah. I did not believe that they could redeem Kylo Ren / Ben Solo. I was like, the fucker killed...
I agree.
Killed Han
That's
Solo.
What I felt. I felt him. The same way.
And they managed to do it. It did. And I give him credit for that.
And a lot of that was Adam Driver's acting. His mask acting and his face acting.
He didn't get redeemed and get to live a happy life afterward.
No.
He didn't. He got redeemed at cost.
But he had to pay for what he did.
And he also didn't have like a deathbed conversion.
No.
Where because he was dying, he wasn't dying. He chose to die so that Rey could live, so that the light could live. Like he chose it. It wasn't like, oh, I'm dying anyway, just kidding. I regret it all. Like Vader did.
Good moment.
Yep.
All right.
I think Rey is my favorite Star Wars character.
Nice. That's close for me.
And then I think a close second is probably Han Solo. Just because he's a fucking scoundrel with a good story arc. Like, what's not to like about a charismatic scoundrel? Like, I dig that quite a bit. But Rey is fucking, she's the best.
I was Rey pretty much is mine as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, awesome.
There are all sorts of reasons to love her character. I appreciated in Last Jedi the fact that basically the dark side, she was like, fuck it, whatever. And I was kind of sorry that there was more of a temptation of the dark side in this one, except it kind of makes sense given what's going on and the manipulation that is going on. It's like Rey, left to her own devices, doesn't give a shit about the dark side.
It wasn't the dark side. It was Ben Solo. It was Kylo Ren that was drawing her, that was making her tempted by the dark side. It was that connection they had. And it was like, well, maybe I can, if I go to the dark side, I can, that's how
but
we,
it's,
that's
it,
how
But
it
it's also Palpatine.
That was
it
all also, engineered.
It is also
it.
Palpatine
it's
engineering it, yeah.
But anyway, so I love Rey. I love the fact that you go to Disney World and there are all these little girls dressed up as Rey. And that never happened with Star Wars before, that Star Wars had given a character... I mean, yes, Leia is a powerful, good, strong character, but she did not have much to do in those in that
Let me tell you, as a young girl, when I would say that I liked Star Wars and would get told that the only person I could be was Leia, and that was all I could dress up as was Leia, and then also being told that Leia wasn't very important anyway, is why I get so frustrated when now you get people who are like, I see people online being like, don't let your kids idolize Rey. They should idolize actual heroes like Leia. And it's like, bitch, 30 years ago, all I heard was that Leia was nothing. She was just the girl they added because they needed to have a girl. You know,
Rey, like, princess to rescue.
Yeah.
Rey is that character for young women, and I think it's super important.
It's why Seven's my favorite movie.
And then the other thing that if I've got to pick a second, it would be Finn.
Yeah.
Because he goes from a position of not knowing what the fuck to do at all, except he doesn't want to be part of the First Order anymore.
Not going
to
murder civilians.
To being so important. And in the second, in eight, just wanting to run away. That's all he wants. Yeah.
He's not going to run away. He wants to go find Rey.
Right.
That's what's important.
And then he wants to get away from all of it. He wants to get away from the politics and recognizing that he can't and that he has to fight.
Yep.
I think his character has a great arc.
You know what's great is that when we first meet him, in the first, some of the first, you know, bits, he's like, he lies and says, like, he's a big deal in the Resistance.
Right.
And then he ends as a general.
Yeah.
In whatever the Resistance is now.
Well, he says he's a big deal
He's a big deal in the Resistance. That's true. Yeah. To Daisy, or to Rey.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Big deal.
Mr. Big Deal.
Okay,
Mr. Big Deal. But then, like, later, he's a general with Poe. Like, I mean, Poe makes him a general.
Can't do it without you, buddy. Okay, first of all, thank you. I just want to let you know I really appreciate that.
But there's this thing.
I know, I love that.
That's a good moment.
Okay.
Question three.
Favorite droid. That's why droid wasn't part
BB-8.
Of Yeah, BB-8.
Because he's got more personality than any of the other droids, I think. Other than some of the more, like, I think that General Grievous is really fucking dope. But
he's a cyborg.
Is he? Oh, you're right. He's not a droid. He's not a droid. Yeah. So, yeah, the BB-8, I think, has the most personality that I find. I find him the least... there's a Stephen King book where there's like a robot that every now and then goes Rudy toot toot, and everyone goes shut up Rudy, and like that's the joke. And I feel like droids are a lot of that sometimes in Star Wars, where the whole joke is they go beep 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 beep, and someone goes oh I know, you know. And like I think that they did a much better job writing the droids in this last trilogy.
Yeah, they did.
I really like R2 for a number of reasons. He's the droid with the most mystery. Mm. He is the droid that has the most sort of connection to the Force, if you will.
Yeah.
He's brave as fuck. He will do anything.
The prequels did R2 dirty, but I feel like R2 has the most plot significance with mystery. I like C-3PO. C-3PO is funny and everything important. Sure. But I also really like L337.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
And, like, Phoebe Waller-Bridge is amazing, and I like her contribution to Solo, and that she's the Falcon. I mean, undeniably, like, she is the Falcon now at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's R2.
Okay.
I think I've got this right. It's K2SO4?
Yep.
K2SO4 from Rogue One.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Sure. Alan, because he's a former Imperial droid and he's still kind of a dick.
Yep.
Yeah.
But
got a little bit of the Marvin the Robot going on.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
You know, in the end, when it comes time to sacrifice himself,
yep.
You know, you kind of get that. It's that thing of they're like, well, we deprogram this Imperial droid. But at that point, it feels like he's choosing a side, not because of programming.
Well, are you caught up on The Mandalorian?
No.
Okay. So there's some interesting droid stuff in the latest episode of The Mandalorian that is kind of a...
Nature nurture.
Droid philosophical stuff like that. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I also will say, runner-up for me, I almost said IG-88 just because I think it's super dope that he slaves his ships, like the way that you can do slave master droid programming, so that he can, like, fly multiple... like ships and stuff, and he uses his droidness. Once he gets free with his restraining bolt, he uses his droidness to his evil advantage.
He's a rogue droid. His ships run copies of his personality. And he makes, or at least used to, the old canon, make illegal duplicates of himself to complete missions
There's some like, cool stuff he does.
I understand why they're not doing IG-88 in Mandalorian and they're doing IG-11 instead. I just wish.
But yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Question four.
Question four. Your favorite creature.
You should go.
Some non-sentient.
Well, yeah. I mean, my answer is easy.
What's yours?
Porgs.
Oh yeah, of course, porgs. Of course.
They're the greatest. I love them not just because they're adorable. I mean, they're dopey, and I get it, but I love them because they are a solution to an environmental problem.
Yeah, yeah.
They had to figure out a way to get the puffins out of the shot, so they CGI'd porgs over them, and I think it's great.
That is a really good point.
That's mine.
There's a creature in Force Awakens that you see on Jakku. That when she finds BB-8 and she frees him or whatever and from the guy who's like the junk trader, the big beast he has is called a Lugabeast. That's actually what it's called, Lugga.
Sure.
And I thought I like all of those desert pack animal where it's just they almost look like weird mixes between elephants and rhinos and like I like all of the riding animals. The ones in Mandalorian are cool. Like I just like I like I guess I would say just as a category, but Lugabeast is the one I think is neat.
They're semi sentient, but I think Kowakian monkey lizards. Salacious Crumb. Character type.
Yeah, I think he calls
They show them being roasted on spit in Mandalorian.
Yeah, they eat them in Mandalorian.
So they can't be that sentient, I hope, anymore.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in the old canon, there was one that was force sensitive and shit. It was super goofy.
Yeah.
But, I like Salacious Crumb and what he is as a comical little jester monkey guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Rancor is also pretty fucking
cool. Oh, Rancor is pretty dope.
Like, as a critter, it was neat.
Yeah.
I could also easily say the huge space worms because they add such a scale, and like you're not even safe from weird critters in the vacuum of space.
In a fucking asteroid.
It's space, right. Morty. It has everything.
And they're big enough to eat your ship and without even thinking about it. Yeah. Like I like that too. So I don't know.
Did you know the difference between Minox and Vinox is whether or not they have legs? It's true.
That's awesome. Okay, final question.
Yes.
What force power, if you could only have one, do you want?
This suggestion. These aren't the droids you're looking for.
That suggestion moment in this movie, by the way, was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it.
We're so glad you're here.
Yeah. We're relieved. It's great that you're here.
And I wouldn't want to abuse it because, you know...
Mind control.
Right. But also, like, if you get pulled over for speeding and you weren't being unsafe, being able to be like, you don't want to give me a ticket.
Yeah.
And be like, cool.
I'm going to give you a warning.
Right? Yeah. That's, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is on sale, isn't it?
I'm a black man and you're not going to shoot me. I mean, right? I'm not a black man. But right. I mean, I feel like,
Don't force suggest to the cops that you're a black man, Tim, because then they will shoot you.
Yeah, that's true.
They'll just hear the first part.
Yeah, and then you're hosed.
Okay. Yeah. Or, you know, being able to go up to a corrupt politician and be like, you want to
change
your
ways.
You want to come clean about all your
worst. You're going to convict the president.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with force heal.
That's a good one.
I just think that it would be... I think that I have a lot of endurance and stamina, and so I feel like I've got a lot of, life force to,
vigor.
To give. Sure. Yeah, I'm vigorous. I have a vigorous sense of health, and so I think that would be really helpful. I've always been interested in, like, medicine and taking first aid, taking care of people. I'm capable in an emergency.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be a good one.
I would go for force pull.
Oh,
just because, like, when I got a cat on my feet, I don't want to have to get up and get the remote.
Yeah. Yep.
Or when there's not a cat on my feet and they're on the other side of the room, I would like them to be on my feet.
Totally.
It's certainly the power you would be able to use most frequently.
Yeah. Yes.
Force pull for me. So, there you go. That is
awesome.
That is
Star
Rise of
Skywalker. Nothing but Star Wars.
That is Rise of Skywalker. The end of the Skywalker saga.
Pew, pew, pew.
42 years of
If you if you saw the movie, I'm sure you have thoughts. Feel free to share them with us in the comments. Like them or hate them. At this point, we will accept either opinion, but one of them is wrong.
You can go ahead and give your opinion, but if you're going to try to convince me that my subjective opinion is wrong because of logic, that's not a good look, white male. I'm just going to assume.
But otherwise, I look forward to whatever the next Star Wars thing is.
Yeah.
I genuinely do.
They have a huge opportunity to do
a lot,
whatever the fuck they want.
There's a million stories to be told in that galaxy.
I can't wait to go to Batu, man. I am so, nothing made me more excited than this movie to go to Galaxy's Edge.
I will probably be in Disney World when this episode comes out. And my understanding is that there are two new scenes in Star Tours
that are
Rise of the Skywalker.
I figured there would be.
So very excited to go on Star Tours to see those new scenes.
Yeah, no doubt.
And we are done. Thank you so much for listening. We will do this again next week, I expect. Goodbye.
Probably. Bye.
You know what? I forgot. What's your favorite Star Wars gadget?
Lightsaber.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This is the closing bumper after you listen to the end thing. Patreon. Remember, Patreon. Bye.